Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in Tuesday program. Indiana gets a win and does so in a big way over Providence to start their hopeful 3-day run to maybe a championship game appearance at the Maui Invitational in Asheville, North Carolina. And I think we need to start with these words. Race Thompson, what a performance yesterday. 22 points, 13 rebounds. He came in, I don't know, maybe 7 minutes or so had gone by in the first half when he checked in for Trace Jackson Davis. And really was dominant. I mean, he absolutely, I think the word that Ed Cooley, the Providence coach, used in the post-game presser, he manhandled Providence in that game. And a lot of talk about who could be the breakout player this year. We kind of know Trace Jackson Davis and his role. We know Rob Finnessy's role. We know what Al Durham can do. But who's going to be maybe a surprise player? Race Thompson was maybe one of two or three names in that category as possibilities, and I think yesterday he took a huge step toward possibly fulfilling that role this season with his performance against Providence. And great to see Indiana come out and play well from the tip. I don't want to say they dominated the game, but in some ways they did. They built a double-digit lead in the first half. That lead grew as the game went on into the final stages, and really the contest was never in doubt, I don't feel like, for Indiana once we got through the opening minutes of the game. But the thing with Race Thompson that probably stood out the most to me is 22 points was great. The 13 rebounds was awesome as well. 8 of those came on the offensive end, which that's so important to see. But because of his body, we knew his body had changed. We've seen pictures. We've heard Cliff Marshall, the strength and conditioning coach, on him in the offseason. He just seemed to play different. He seemed to play with more athleticism than what he ever has. And clearly his body much more ready, much more developed for a high major college basketball game. And of course, I always say the Big Ten Conference, the most physical conference I feel like there is year in and year out in college basketball. So Race Thompson, his performance yesterday, if he can keep that up, not that he has to have 22 and 13 or a double-double every single game, but if he can be that type of player and play just the way he did yesterday, you play him off of Trace Jackson Davis, and I think that's a really good combo. Lots of compliments yesterday as well. This just popped in my mind, but lots of compliments from the ESPN announcer team, which of course included Bill Walton, who's just a nut job, I think. But they expect to see IU on ESPN a lot. They were very complimentary, obviously, of Race Thompson and of Trace Jackson Davis and of other things throughout the game. So I think Indiana's off to a tremendous start. Anytime you win, you probably feel that way. And the good news is, coming off the momentum of yesterday's game and the momentum of how well Race Thompson played and all the praise that he's drawled last night and again today on radio shows and other broadcasts, we get to see him in action here in just a couple hours. And this is one of the great things about the start of the college basketball season. Win or lose, you play a lot of games, especially when you're in an event like the Maui Invitational. But when you're in that type of event, you're doing so against high major and quality ball clubs. So we get to see Indiana with, obviously, easily its biggest challenge of the year with a very athletic Texas team. And I'm just not sure. I thought Indiana had a great chance. I thought the game would be closer against Providence. I think I thought Providence was better than what they were yesterday, at least. They didn't seem to be very good defensively at all. But Indiana, I think, is pretty good. We'll see. But I think Texas could be a real challenge. This could be a really good game. And, again, I think the betting odds have went back and forth. If I've paid attention closely enough, I'm not even sure who the favorite is at this hour. But it's very close, and I think we're in for a treat this afternoon. 1:30 tip-off, by the way, so plan your post-lunch accordingly if you're at work or wherever. And, of course, if you can't get to a TV or you don't want to hear some of the silly things that Bill Walton, who I assume has the call, I know he does, of the at least the color commentary on the call today, you can always get Don Fisher on the Big X. Of course, we'll have pregame coverage beginning at 12:30, so not too long after this show goes off the air, and the tip-off of the game at 1:30, IU in Texas. And, of course, we'll talk more about the Providence game coming up. We'll talk more about the upcoming matchup with Texas coming up today. A heavy, heavy IU basketball show today. There's absolutely no question about that. As Indiana right in the middle of the Maui Invitational, which it's never going to get easy for me to say this, in Asheville, North Carolina, watching the games and the television commercials and all the things coming in and out of commercial break. You're so used to seeing the beach and seeing all the sights of Maui and all the tourism advertisements for Hawaii. And, of course, yesterday it's all surrounded about Asheville, North Carolina, which is different. But anyhow, it is what it is. Glad the event's taking place. Glad Indiana gets an opportunity to take part in it. And speaking of college basketball today, we've got the Maui semifinals coming up this afternoon, I think 1:30 and 4. You've got the Maui consolation side of the bracket tonight, later on. But also primetime tonight, you've got some great college basketball matchups, at least on paper. Kentucky and Kansas, the nightcap, I think it's a 9:30 or so tip. Kentucky lost to Richmond over the weekend, so how will they fare against Kansas? I think it'll be very interesting to see how this Kentucky team bounces back tonight. And then from a Big Ten perspective, to open that Champions Classic event, you get Michigan State taking on Duke, which should be a tremendous matchup. And so I specifically look forward to watching the Duke and Michigan State game tonight. I think that will be interesting. And, of course, it tells us more about the Big Ten. I saw what Minnesota won yesterday. Marcus Carr, big shot to put Minnesota up by a couple points. I think that ended up being the final score. Illinois had a tight game a day or so ago. Michigan had to go to overtime. We talked about this some yesterday against Oakland, a mid-major opponent. So the Big Ten's going to be great. I don't have any concerns about that. But it is interesting early on to get an early look at some of these Big Ten teams and see how they stack up early on and what they have to work on. But Marcus Carr, Minnesota, he's going to be one of the great players in the conference this year. He hit the big shot yesterday to put them ahead in their game. And I forget who they played, but it was kind of a mid-major type opponent, if I'm correct. Another thing, just this, I guess some random thoughts here. Rick Pitino, it was odd to see him on the sideline again last night. I was flipping through the channels, and Iona playing Seton Hall. And of course, that's a matchup of guys that know each other, families and coaches that know each other very well there. But just interesting to see him back on the sideline and not be at U of L. That was interesting to see last night as well. But so far, the Maui Invitational's had some pretty good games. I think today's games have a chance to be really good games. Again, I've told you my thoughts on Indiana and Texas. I think that Stanford and North Carolina will be a really good matchup. That's the 4 o'clock game coming up later this afternoon. Let's take a quick look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment. Segment 2, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk more on IU basketball. Can't leave out football. Michael Penix out for the season. A lot of question marks in the Big Ten football schedule right now. Things are getting dicey, to say the least, and we'll talk with Greg about all of that and more. And then Greg tells me that there's a Victor Oladipo press availability, media availability, that he's going to have to dump out of our show to get. So we'll talk some about what he expects to hear from Vic Oladipo today as well. Is he going to exit the Pacers or is he not? So we'll talk about that. And then later in the show, Mike Pegram, who's actually in Asheville. I know a ton of media people. We talked to a ton of them on this show. I don't know many of them that are there. and Mike Pegram is there at the games live and in person. So we'll get his thoughts on yesterday's performance against Providence. We'll preview the Texas game today with him and just what's it like to be at the game. It's completely different than any other. And Mike's been to a handful of them. It's completely different than any other Maui Invitational for sure that he's ever been to. But just a different environment at the game itself, I'm sure. And, of course, all of us here at home watching on television, Mike gets the opportunity to be at the contest, and so we'll talk about that as well. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service. It's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's quickly get to some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Just a couple other things from the Indiana game yesterday that I wanted to mention. Looking at the box score, how about Al Durham with 19 points in the contest yesterday? Also, I thought Rob Fennessy had a very efficient game. He had 11 points, 4 of 5 shooting, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, handed out 5 assists, and then Trey Galloway, a freshman, 4 points but 24 minutes in his really debut performance against a high major team. After him, as far as freshmen, it was Christian Lander. He got 9 minutes in the game. Jordan Geronimo, 7 minutes in the contest last night. And, of course, we didn't see Anthony Leal. Very interesting about Trey Galloway, the minutes that he's getting, the opportunities he's getting, even in some key times for Indiana. Going back to these guys in their senior years, it's hard to talk much about Jordan Geronimo because we didn't know a lot about him. But as far as Leal and Galloway went with high school, I thought Leal, especially with the body change that he had as well over the summer, would maybe have a chance to get more minutes than Galloway. And I thought Lander would get more minutes than any of them. And that still could be the case. But Trey Galloway early has been the freshman minutes-wise kind of leading things. And I think you got to look at minutes a lot with freshmen because it tells you who the coach really believes in. And I know some of it can have to do with position and role and other things, but obviously you can tell that there's a role on this team this season for freshman Trey Galloway, with him getting 24 minutes in a big Maui Invitational game as well. So just a few other notes from the Indiana game, plenty of additional stuff coming up about that contest a little bit later today. And our final headline, congratulations to some local guys, namely Lamont Rowland of New Albany. He was named earlier this morning, it was announced, to the Silver Anniversary Team for 2021 by the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. A 1996 graduate of New Albany High School, averaged 21.6 points, 7.6 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 2.7 steals per game for a senior year, 24-4 state runner-up New Albany, had almost 1,100 points and 500 rebounds in his career for the Bulldogs, all sorts of awards, played professionally, the Czech Republic, Argentina, Romania, China, Venezuela, Mexico, and has been, of course, living in New Albany now for some time. But a great player back in the 90s. What a talented time it was for Southern Indiana. A few years ago, we saw a lot of Jeffersonville guys on the Silver Anniversary team. Now we see some others from the area. B.J. Watts from Scottsburg, he was also included on the team. And I'm trying to think other names on this list you might know. Michael Lewis, obviously, at Jasper, played at Indiana, now coaching college hoops. He is on the team as well. Here's a name that you'll remember, especially New Albany fans. Jeff Poizel of Ben Davis. Remember, he hit the shot in overtime to upend New Albany in the state championship game. But a very good class of members being added to the Silver Anniversary team for 2021. And pretty cool to see Lamont Rowland, one of the greats here from the 90s in Southern Indiana, get an opportunity to be recognized as well. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll head to a quick break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star for a quick chat after this. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back with Greg Doyle for a quick chat today. Greg, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. We've got plenty to get to, but Greg, I'll let you react just first. Give your thoughts and opinions on a big win over Providence and a Race Thompson breakout party yesterday at the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, well, how about the best way I can put it quickly is to say what Bill Walton said in the middle of the game. Of course, he said a bunch of stuff. One thing he said is, I think we're going to see a whole lot of Indiana basketball on ESPN this year. And what he meant by that was because they're really good, and they are really good. Providence was picked, and you know, we have to see how the season plays out. It's really hard to look at early season games and think you know what you're looking at. But Big East coaches who know a lot more about basketball than you, me, and combined, they picked Providence third in the 11-team Big East. So if that's who Providence is, and IU just destroyed them, then what does that make IU? And Race Thompson, I mean, holy cow, that was fabulous.
Yeah, no question. And the good thing is we get to see if this Indiana team that we think's good and Race Thompson and his big breakout are for real, because they're right back today against a very athletic and a pretty good Texas team. And I think this will tell us even more about this Indiana team. It's what you got to love about – and the coaches know this, signing up for an early season event like the Maui. You're going to get good competition. No matter which way you go in the bracket, you're going to take on good players, good coaches, good teams. There are plenty of other multiple team events where you can go play some lesser competition or mid-major teams in certain games. But when you sign up for Maui, you know what you're going to get. And Indiana bounces right back today to see if they can keep this momentum moving along.
Yeah, and they're built for this. Not every team is. I don't know what Texas has as far as depth, but IU's got depth. Now, Joey Brunk needs to play. I'm not saying that'll rush him back, but for their depth to really pay off, they need another body in the front court. Jordan Geronimo can play minutes up there. Jerome Hunter can play minutes up there. But right now they got Race and Trace Jackson. That's it. So they need Brunk, but they've got a ton of guards. And guards do, you know, obviously the bulk of the running. And so they've got the talent. They've got the talent, but they got the depth to handle two games in 2 days. We'll see. I don't know. You know, Texas might have more, but IU's equipped.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Other thoughts on Indiana? I know the first segment I spent a lot of time talking about Race Thompson and his contributions and his off-season improvements that have kind of prepped him for that yesterday. But what else? What other players caught your eye? Other thoughts from the win yesterday?
Huh. Well, let's see. Trey Galloway didn't do a whole lot, but I love watching him play.
24 minutes.
How many?
24 minutes as a freshman. I mean, that tells me Archie Miller's got plans for him this season.
Oh, and he was great in the opener against Tennessee Tech. I love watching him play. And again, he didn't. The bottom line, he didn't score a lot. He didn't do a lot as far as, you know, production in the box score. But he's just so fun to watch, and he plays with such great force. You know, that's the word coaches like to use, is force. And boy, he plays with force. Short of that, Trace Jackson Davis didn't have a great day. Missed a lot of shots. Missed two alley-oops. They weren't dunks, but still he missed them. 5 of 15 maybe, and he's a 60% shooter. And they still won by 20. So, and then Al Durham hit a couple big shots. They need somebody to hit shots. Anthony Leal not playing at all is kind of eye-opening to me. Someone's got to hit shots. I thought Leal was going to be a guy to do that. Al Durham hit some shots. That's something. Chris Lander hadn't hit a shot yet. Not really. He banked in the three in the opener. He looks like he'll be better than that. I mean, he's got a nice looking shot. He'll settle down and start making some shots. But again, they won by 20, and Lander didn't make anything, and Trace Jackson Davis didn't do much for as good as he is, and Trey Galloway didn't do a whole lot, and Jerome Hunter was in foul trouble, and they won by 20. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let's switch to football. I know you've got something to do at 11:30, and we'll talk about that on the way out. But Michael Penix out for the season. For IU football, it's been just a fabulous year, and Indiana football, the momentum continues to build, and I think there's a chance they can still go on to have plenty of success this year, no matter what happens from this point forward. But to do so without Michael Penix will be tough, and he has been such a big part of what this football team's been able to get done this season.
Yeah, he's had a special couple of games. He's had a couple of games where he wasn't so special, and they've won pretty much all of them anyway, except the Ohio State game. He was great that day. So what they have at IU is a team that's better than just a quarterback. And, you know, usually you rise and fall with your quarterback, and we'll see. IU may. They may rise and fall, and without Penix around, they may fall. But they've got a lot of depth, talent all over the place. And Jack Tuttle is no joke. Now, he, from what we were told 2 years ago, I guess, you know, last fall, he and Penix and Ramsey competed for the job right down to the wire. And Tuttle may well have finished third. We don't know that, but he may have. I guess he probably did because Ramsey replaced Penix. But that doesn't mean a whole lot to me that, well, how good can he be? Well, I mean, Michael Penix threw for 500 yards against Ohio State. You know, in his last 12 starts, Penix has thrown for 3,000 yards and 15 touchdowns and 5 picks, or 24-8 or some grapes. So he's good. Losing your job to him is no problem. Peyton Ramsey was a record-setting quarterback at IU, went to Northwestern. They were 5-0 and bearing down on the Rose Bowl or something until they lost this past weekend. Peyton Ramsey's good. Losing out to him is no big deal. So we don't know that Jack Tuttle can't play. We know he's a 4-star recruit. And on the same day Penix couldn't throw the ball from here to there without hitting the ground, he was 2-for-15 to start the game. Tuttle was 5-for-5. Granted, they were all short passes, but Penix wasn't hitting them, and Tuttle did. So I think they're going to be okay. I do think they're going
to
be okay.
Yeah, but we'll be interesting. Greg, we got to let you go, but you are leaving us to jump on, I think, a Zoom call with Victor Oladipo, right? You get a chance to hear from him and what's going on.
Yeah, he's back. You know, they didn't trade him. They probably couldn't trade him. Whether he wants to be here or not, you know, who knows? And the sad truth is, and Victor has done this to himself, is I wouldn't believe him whatever he says. You know, I'm not going to believe it. So, and again, he's done that to himself. And you're not going to find a guy that liked Victor Oladipo more than me up until about 6 months ago. I was all over the Victor Oladipo train. And I would actually talk to Victor after games and practices. And I'd say to him, man, I love the way you're talking. I love the way you're leading, you know, and I would tell him, keep this stuff up because we eat this stuff up. And I told him that, but the last 6 months have been not good. And, you know, we'll see what he says today and we'll see if I believe it. But yeah, here I go.
All right. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up to you next week.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. Greg with us. And again, a short chat with him today as he exits to hear from Victor Oladipo in a Zoom call coming up for media. I think that starts right now. And a couple other notes that I didn't have time for in the first segment. Supposed to be tonight, Floyd Central and Clarksville. That game has been postponed and will be played on Saturday. No real reason announced that the game has been postponed to Saturday, but you can imagine what it could be during this COVID-19 time that already has caused a lot of issues in our high school sports scene locally this winter. I think it's just going to be something that we get used to hearing on a regular basis if we aren't already. But that game, according to Jeff Sequeira, the athletic director at Floyd Central, it's been postponed to Saturday. So that game will be played at Floyd Central on Saturday. And also, Mr. Sequeira putting out this morning that the Floyd Central Castle game, the Highlanders are on the road Friday. It will be varsity only, and it will start at 7 o'clock. So Floyd Central having a number of changes to their schedule for this season so far as they look to get things underway. And, of course, don't forget that Jeffersonville, they are currently paused until December 9th. Due to some COVID-19 issues within the team, and Andrew Grant's telling us that last week. It's going to happen, I think, at some point with most, if not every team in the area. You're going to either have a positive or two. You're going to have players that are out and quarantined, maybe enough where you can't play. Even if you want to play shorthanded, you just can't. We've already seen games last week and the first week of the boys' season where teams have played shorthanded. We've seen games that have been postponed because of it. And we've seen coaches come down with COVID-19. We've seen administrators come down with COVID-19. And it's obviously something that's going to continue. Although I did see something, one of the first things on my phone, a news alert overnight, was that Dr. Fauci saying you can get, he thinks every American that wants the vaccine for COVID-19, it will be available sometime by April. Again, for every American that wants COVID-19. So that obviously doesn't solve things totally, but I think it gets us pretty close to that, and that's, to me at least, is exciting news to hear. As far as high school basketball goes, with so much being changed, it feels like the start to the season has been really slow. Normally, the opening week of the year, you've got a Tuesday game, a Wednesday game, a Friday game, a Saturday game. You get a chance to really get a feel for local teams, and that just wasn't the case last week on the boys' side of things. And, of course, now with Jeff out till December 9th, It's going to be a while till we really get to understand exactly what their season could look like. And depending on if Jeff comes back on December 9th or if it's a few days after that, they're either going to open December 11th with Seymour or possibly December 18th at Silver Creek. So I don't know if they'll get that Seymour game in or not as they come back. You got to get practices and things, but it could be an opening game against Silver Creek on December 18th. So that would be interesting as well. As far as the high school schedule this weekend, Floyd Central set to go at Castle for a varsity-only game on Friday, then play Clarksville on Saturday, and the New Albany team will be in action at Evansville Harrison over the weekend. That's a Saturday game. Providence scheduled to play Austin coming up this weekend as well as the Pioneers look to get their season underway. And, of course, Silver Creek, who has already played at Columbus East, they are scheduled tonight to play at Charlestown. And they were supposed to play Clarksville over the weekend, but obviously some things have been shifted around there, so we'll check in with the coaches and see what the situation is. But nonetheless, it's going to be crazy. I think before you head out to a game, unless you got an intimate connection with that team, with the players on that team, you got to check and make sure that you know the game is going to happen, because you're going to see so many things shifted around, moved around. We're running into that with things that we want to broadcast. It's not all falling into place the way it normally does. Plus, you've got college stuff on top of it. I wasn't supposed to do a show today. We were supposed to carry Western Kentucky football. They had a 9:30 kickoff this morning, but that game yesterday afternoon, it was announced, was canceled because of some issues with their opponent or about COVID-19. So it's a very fluid situation, and it's going to take a lot of patience from everybody involved. And I know we want to get as many games in as we can, but there are going to be times where you just can't play. And there are going to be big games. I think there's a chance that some of the big games that we're excited about maybe don't happen or maybe have to be shifted around to try to get as much of a completed season in as possible. So one of those big games that we can already look ahead to is December 11th. It's kind of the first big rivalry game of the season as far as high school basketball locally is concerned. That's December 11th. Floyd Central scheduled to play at New Albany. Let's cross our fingers that that one gets played. Obviously should be a great game. Floyd Central going to be very good again this year. New Albany's looked good out of the gate as well. And we'll see how those two rivals do on December 11th. But already looking forward to that contest. Then on the flip side, you think about rivalry games. You know, Jeff, they've lost some games because of their quarantine. They've lost some games before January 4th because it's Louisville schools and Kentucky schools that at least for now can't begin their seasons until January 4th. But theoretically, one of their first few games of the season, depending on when they actually come back and what's able to be moved and rescheduled between when they return and early January, could be the New Albany game, to be quite honest with you. So just a crazy year where some teams are going to have the normal amount of games in for that time of year. Other teams could be way behind based on issues with their own team, based on cancellations with other teams on their schedule. Just going to be a total crapshoot this year. I don't think there's any question about that. So looking forward to the Maui Invitational. We've got Indiana coming up at 1:30 here on the Big X, pregame coverage at 12:30. And, of course, that's Indiana and Texas. And then later today, looking forward to North Carolina and Stanford. I told you tonight we get a chance to see Michigan State and Duke in the Champions Classic, Kentucky and Kansas. I'm not sure what to expect in that Kentucky-Kansas game at all after the Wildcats lose to Richmond at Rupp Arena. But I am very interested to see Michigan State match up with Duke to get a better feel for the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, no game more interesting to any of us than Indiana and Texas, because I think this will be a challenge for Indiana, the biggest by far that they've had so far in this young season. But interested to see what this Indiana team can do. Do we see Trace Jackson Davis a little more efficient today? Do we see Race Thompson continue with a dominant performance? Do we see him with a solid performance? Does he disappear some today? There's so many things to watch and so many things that I can't wait to see how it plays out when we see Indiana and Texas do battle at 1:30. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Final segment of the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. And again, Mike is in Asheville. He's actually at the games. Very limited attendance as far as media goes, but he's got a credential. He was there yesterday. We'll recap in detail the Providence game. We'll preview the Texas game. And what's it like? It's kind of reminiscent of the NBA bubble setup a little bit, the way the court and the backdrop are. But what's it like to be there? It's just not a normal time to be at the Maui Invitational. Not only is it not in Hawaii, but it looks a lot different inside the arena as well, I'm sure. It sure does on TV. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, who's in Asheville, North Carolina for the Maui Invitational. He joins us on the program as he does Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and more. And Mike, we get to talk about a 79-58 win for IU yesterday afternoon. We also get to take a quick glance at the game, the semifinal game of the tournament against Texas, which comes up just a little bit later today. I don't think we can talk about yesterday's win and the opening game for IU at the Maui tournament without talking about Race Thompson. He was really good, 22 points. I think it was 13 rebounds. It almost seemed like a breakout party for him and something that many of us have been wondering and waiting on, especially with the great summer he seemed to have in Bloomington.
Yeah, body-wise, he just looks better. He's moving better. He was really able to go into the open spaces and shoot quickly and with confidence, hit some baseline jumpers and also some floaters in the lane. And Indiana used him against the zone, against the defense in the middle of the lane because he just has a nice sense, court sense with the ball right there. And he's a good complement also to Trace Jackson Davis because Trace draws a lot of attention and Race can go straight to the boards when Trace shoots and had a couple of those early to kind of set the tone.
And Race Thompson, obviously, how he looked against Providence, and you stole the words out of my mouth, playing off of Trace Jackson Davis, I think that's something exciting that we could see this season. We knew Trace Jackson Davis is going to be the man for Indiana. He had a good game yesterday, a solid game for IU, but to have someone that can play off of him is going to be super important, I think, for this team. It's just kind of an obvious glaring mark is who's going to take that role, who's capable of doing that, and it sure looks like Race Thompson has claimed that spot for now.
Yeah, especially defensively and against athletic front lines, which they definitely face today. I mean, today may be the most athletic front line that they'll face all season. So, Race fills the void there and can move and bring those guys out away from the basket too.
You know, with Race, he's always had the look of an athlete. There was a screen. I know you're at the game, so you may have not seen the ESPN broadcast, but there was a screen during the game yesterday that highlights his family, and it's amazing. He's had a dad and a brother that played football at Minnesota, a mom and a sister that played the sports in the Big Ten Conference as well. It's a very athletic family, and obviously he's got an athletic look to him, but you have to wonder how much of yesterday's ability for him to step up and grab those rebounds and be aggressive and be dominant and score 22 points has to do with Cliff Marshall in the weight room in the offseason. And I think it was Bill Walton yesterday. Of course, he talks about everything but the game going on in front of him during the broadcast. But he actually, without even knowing the name of the athletic performance person at Indiana, gave a lot of credit to him just for the team in general and how they looked differently and better from last year from that standpoint. But you do wonder, with the new body, the improved body, the muscular strength that he has that maybe he didn't have a year ago to compete in the Big Ten, how much that is aiding his ability to have a 22-13 performance against a solid Providence team.
Yeah, what you haven't brought up is I think he's a much more complimentary player both on both ends versus what Justin Smith was to Trayce Jackson-Davis. He's able to float around, and he just has a little bit better sense of what's a good shot and a bad shot. And like you said, that the team is looks a little physically farther along than they have in a few years. And I also thought that the passing between the big men was really good yesterday. Just really nice interior passing. That's a great sign for the future.
I want to talk about some other players, Mike, that stood out to you in the win over Providence yesterday. Obviously, Trayce Jackson-Davis, he showed promise that he's going to be the player plus some that he was a year ago. I thought Al Durham had some nice moments as well. But behind the standout performance, the exciting performance of Race Thompson, give us a rundown of what you saw yesterday and what stood out to you and really Indiana's first game against a high major opponent.
Well, I thought it was interesting that I don't think Trayce had a very good game for him, and they still won by 21 points. I think that's significant. The guards actually had a very good game, and that's what I wrote my story on. It was a kind of a quiet game. But if you look at it, Al Durham and Rob Finnessy combined for 8 or 9 assists without a single turnover. And Al didn't miss a shot in the second half and had, I think, 15 points in the second half. And Rob didn't miss hardly anything. He had Ruffins here, had the kind of game, I think, what might be what you see a lot from him, very efficient games, maybe not taking a lot of shots, but hitting a good percentage of them, dishing out. You know, I think he had 5 assists without a turnover and played really good defense. They played really good defense against David Duke, who's an outstanding kind of a preseason all Big East kind of player. And they held him to like 3 for 12 with 4 turnovers, and that was something that not a lot of people may have noticed yesterday.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, Indiana, a winner in the opening game of Maui Invitational play over Providence yesterday. And this was a game, Mike, it seems so often that Indiana is just in battles. You know, there have been some disappointing games over the years. There have been some games that Indiana has played well, but it's just a battle throughout, it seems. Or maybe Indiana gets off to a great start and then lets the other team back in the game in the waning minutes, and it ends up being a close one all the way to the end. This was a game where Indiana played well, and they played well consistently. They shot the ball well, and they did so fairly consistently. They built a double-digit lead in the first half and really maintained that and then grew it in the second half.
Yeah, they were – anytime Providence got down to 10, they made a shot. I mean, it was – there was no not stepping on the throat. They stepped on the throat, put the dagger in, and it really had a look of maturity that we haven't seen a lot in the last few years.
Mike Pegram, and you're there. Tell us what it's like to be at the Maui Invitational right now with very limited on who can be in the arena from a media standpoint as well. It's not something that's common to have a media credential to the Maui event this season.
No. In fact, I'm looking at snow at the Maui Invitational right now. They actually did a pretty good job with crowd noise. They have a lot of speakers. And they have a lot of nice backdrops. And I actually felt like you were at a real game. I felt like you were at the Maui Invitational, you know, with small gym kind of atmosphere with a lot of good teams. They did a really good job setting this up. And when the games got tight, and like the Texas Davidson got tight, in the last possession, they really piped it louder, like it was real, you know, like real fan noise. I thought that was interesting. I think Indiana could take some pointers from how they're doing this event so that they can take that maybe back to some of their home games and kind of make it feel more real for the players. But it is kind of a cool atmosphere, but it's weird because you're up there and nobody's in the stands, and you're sitting back because of COVID, and you're sitting 6 feet away from everybody, and it's just different. But I think on the court it does look kind of real, which is good for the players.
And the setup, at least on television, it's kind of reminiscent some of the NBA bubble setup, maybe the way they've got the screen behind the bench areas. And they don't have, obviously, the video screen where fans live can join the broadcast or anything like that. But a similar setup where it sure takes out the bleachers and some of the other things during some of these college games, at least home games I've seen so far on TV this week, where the stands are basically empty, maybe except for a few parents, and it just looks hollow in there.
Yeah, and, you know, Maui's a big tournament with they got a good sponsorship, so they had some money, which like the NBA does, to kind of do some of these things. I don't know if it's realistic for the colleges to kind of do it, but it is neat to see what they've got set up down here, and I think that's making for a better experience. But if you only have to put something up like that once, I think some of these colleges should try to do it for this season.
Yeah.
Because it just, that noise, you know, it just had a different feel than some of the other stuff I've seen going on in this post-COVID world.
Absolutely. Talking with Mike Pegram. Let's get into Indiana's opponent for today. Texas, a winner yesterday, so this is a winner's bracket semifinal game. You mentioned the athleticism of the front line of Texas. Definitely an athletic team. What's the challenge look like, some of the matchups for Indiana today?
Texas is really long. Both guards and their big men are super long. They play way, their big men play way above the rim. But, you know, they struggle to beat Davidson. They don't have a great shooting team. And so I think it's definitely a game that Indiana can win. But they're going to get, you know, they're going to have some troubles because they have a rotation of really big men. Texas has recruited at a level that if you rank the teams in the top 10 teams and, you know, in terms of how many 4 and 5 stars that they've landed, Texas would probably be in that list of top 10. You know, well, they're recruiting at a higher level than Indiana is. But Indiana is a little bit stronger, I think, physically, and a little bit more mature mentally. So it's going to be a very good game. I think the odds makers have gone back and forth with 1 or 2 points, but you know, it's going to be fun.
And for Texas, highlight their game yesterday. You know, I got to see bits and pieces in and out. It was one of the opening games of the day. But who are players to watch for, and what makes them tick?
Well, Courtney Ramey, that was their leading scorer yesterday, I believe, and he hit the game-winning shot just maybe a few seconds left on Texas' last possession, and he's from St. Louis, really talented player. Matt Coleman was a guy that Indiana recruited really hard, played, came out of Virginia, and he's a senior now, and he was their leading scorer last year. Texas has their 4 top scorers back from last year's team, and they've added in Greg Brown, who is a top 10 McDonald's All-American, who happened to grow up right there in Austin, and he's starting. And they have a 6'11", 220 guy named Kai Jones, who just plays way, way above the rim from the Bahamas, who's now become the second leading scorer. You know, he's coming off the bench. He's raw. But, boy, he gets up and just alley-oops, dunks the ball really easily, and he'll be definitely some guy to watch for. And they have like 4 or 5 of these 6'10", 6'11 guys that are athletic, and that's what makes them pretty unique.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, with a chat from Asheville, where he's at covering the Maui Invitational for the Pigs.com website. Mike, as always, thanks for the insight, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Mike Pegram with us again today, and that's going to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. A quick look at the bracket just to set things up for today. Obviously, Texas and Indiana, the opening semifinal game this afternoon. Keep in mind, it's a 1:30 game, and so that means coming up right after our show, essentially, pregame coverage will begin here on the Big X. So stay tuned for that if you're listening live on the radio. Later on this afternoon, North Carolina and Stanford. I'm looking forward to that game as well. And if Indiana could pull off a win over Texas, I think it would be a good feat early in the season. And I tell you what, I think Indiana can compete with any of these teams left in the semifinal the rest of the way in this tournament. But overall, good start yesterday for Indiana. Their first high major opponent of the season, the Race Thompson breakout party, a great thing to see. Maybe a little more from Jerome Hunter. And one thing I didn't get to Mike, and I really left it off, that I wanted to talk to him about is, you know, Trey Galloway. We talked about him some earlier, but how about this guy as a freshman getting some considerable minutes for Indiana and getting the opportunity to contribute early on? He had 4 points, but how about this, 24 minutes? You've got to look hard to find freshmen getting that type of action. Lander had 9 minutes, Geronimo 7 minutes, and I saw that Jerome Hunter only 8 minutes in the game yesterday and 0 points. I think that we all are hopeful he can come along for this Indiana team after the health situation he had a year ago and really make an impact because, again, coming out of high school, he was that type of player. He was someone that had NBA potential, and you got to believe he still got it. He just has to bring it back out of him. So a good start for Indiana. Should be another fun day of basketball. Love these days where you can listen and watch basketball throughout the day, and that's going to be the case with the Maui event because you've also got consolation games later today. Davidson and Providence will play each other tonight at 7 o'clock. UNLV and Alabama will play each other at 9:30. Those games on ESPN2. Of course, the IU game here live on the Big X, but also on ESPN as well. And the championship game, if Indiana wins, they will play on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. I love the afternoon games. And if they were to lose to Texas today, they will play in the third-place game, which will take place at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. Regardless, they will be on ESPN today and tomorrow. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. A reminder, if you can't join us live on the radio, we're available as a podcast. You can search the Hoosier Report in Apple Podcast. You can find us there, subscribe to our program, and catch the podcast for free each afternoon. And while you're there, if you enjoy the show, leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us connect with others that are interested in IU basketball, IU football, and of course sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Coming up later this afternoon, 12:30 pregame, 1:30 tip-off, IU and Texas from the Maui Invitational. And, of course, I don't even have to tell you this, the legendary Don Fisher has the call of the game here on the Big X. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.